This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're looking back on a big weekend of track and field, hosted and won by the Bobcats. Plus, the softball team has won 5 of 6 games, thanks in part to the power hitting of junior captain Isabel Bo Betancourt. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates men's outdoor track and field team completed a sweep of the state meets this year as they prevailed by 4 points over Colby at the 125th Maine Intercollegiate State Championship, hosted by the Bobcats Friday and Saturday at Russell Street Track and Field. A number of Bobcats turned in impressive performances, starting on Friday when sophomore Henry Hood won the hammer throw with a personal record toss of 166 feet, 4 inches. And Henry Hood is our male Bobcat of the week. Well, Henry, it was quite the meet for you there on Friday, setting a new PR in the hammer throw and winning the event on top of that at home. So take us through kind of how you prepared for this week's championship, because obviously it's a state title for the men yet again. But and how good was it to unleash that throw for a PR there?
It was honestly a great feeling. I think it was something that's been building up for a while. I competed at the Emory Classic down in Atlanta for our spring break trip. That was our first outdoor meet. And then I didn't compete at the next meet, which is at Bryant University, because I had classes on Friday.
Ah.
And then the following week, we were at Amherst, and I didn't go because my buddy was getting confirmed in the Catholic Church in Boston. So I had to attend that instead. So then going into the Tufts meet, I unfortunately fouled out. But it was a good week of training leading up, and I had some big fouls. So it kind of gave me the confidence I needed leading up to Maine States. So I had a good week of practice, rested up, and I kind of had this subconscious feeling that, you know, I think this could be the meet. So, and it was. So that was really exciting.
Well, I looked at last year. You were 12th last year and the first this year. So, I mean, what have you been working on over the past calendar year that made you have this, you know, breakthrough?
So I've had quite the interesting trajectory on this team. I came in my freshman year as a walk-on. I started as a sprinter. And then, unfortunately, in December, I tore my left quad. So that put me out for all of the indoor season. And funny enough, around March, I was still recovering and messing around with the throwers. And there's a video with me with a weight in my hand doing turns. And it got shared with the coach. And maybe I shouldn't have been doing that. But he was like, you know, you look good enough. Why not try this? So I began training for the hammer throw, competed in, I think, 3 meets my freshman year, just feeling out the throw. And then over the summer, I, you know, lifted, put on some weight, and then in the fall, just kept training. And I had a really good indoor and so far outdoor season. So
interesting. So growing up, obviously you've never did throws before, right? Ever in your life. You said you walked on as a sprinter, but what sports were you playing growing up? Did you run track in high school, stuff like that?
In fact, no. I had the opportunity to go to a boarding school in northern New Hampshire, Holderness School. And it's a more outdoorsy school. I mean, we do have all the traditional sports. Funny enough, we don't have track and field.
Okay.
but I was a pretty small kid going into high school, so I would say I was more frightened of, like, those field sports, contact sports. So I spent a lot of my time rock climbing, snowboarding, kind of more unconventional sports. Mm. But I was a huge fan of lifting. That's something that I did consistently all throughout high school. And then I think that gave me a foundation that I needed to be able to walk onto a team at Bates.
Interesting. So when you were in high school, what made Bates the place for you? Like, what appealed to you about them being a Bobcat? Was it the chance to walk on the track team? Was it other things?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mix of a lot of things. Yeah. I think it was similar to my high school with respect that it was a small community. And that's something I really enjoyed during my high school years. So it's definitely something I wanted to replicate for college.
So you come here and you're thinking, do you think right away I want to join track and field? Like, what was the thought process?
Yeah, funny enough, two of my best friends in high school were lacrosse players, and I would always, like, kind of mess around with them on the field. So it was a long shot, but I was, like, thinking about trying to walk onto the lacrosse team at Bates. And then my buddy Ryan, at the beginning of my freshman year, I sat down at a lunch table with him and the track team captain, like the first 2 weeks of school, I think.
Ryan Glazer?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. 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 And then he was like, oh, you should join the track team. and the team captain was there. So like we started chatting, and then he texted the coach, and I showed up to the practice, and everything was history after that.
And it's funny because is it because you were friends with Ryan that you were messing around with the throwers one day? Or
yeah. It was.
interesting. So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to go from being wanting to be a sprinter to a thrower, that's obviously a huge transition, right? What was that process like?
Yeah, it was definitely very unconventional. You don't really see that. But it was fun. I think, I felt like a fish out of water that first year. I was like, you know, I'm just going to try this, see how it goes. Because I was like 170 pounds. Mm. You know, the guys I was competing against were like, you know, 200, 250, yeah. Et cetera. So that was definitely interesting, but I think over the summer, gaining some weight, putting on some more muscle, gave me the confidence I needed.
Then Ryan is a very experienced thrower himself. So what have you kind of learned from him, you know, throwing alongside him, right?
Yeah, he's a specialist in the hammer, the shot, the disc. He's an all-around good thrower. And, yeah, he definitely helped me a lot with the hammer throw and especially the weight throw. Going to practice with each other is a lot of fun. I think we try to bounce tips off each other, talk about cues, talk about different types of technique or videos we'll see online of certain throwers, analyze their technique. And I think that those conversations plus mentally thinking about it, visualizations, definitely contribute a lot to progression outside of the circle.
Now, looking at your results, you've been all hammer and weight throughout your time at Bates. Is there any consideration of the other throws events, or is that like, I'm good with these?
Yeah, I've been training the discus a little bit here and there. So was supposed to open in the discus, I think, at Amherst. Then I wasn't able to go to that meet. And then, because I didn't throw the best hammer mark at Emory, I think my coach just wanted me to get a better hammer mark going into States.
Yeah.
Because I fouled out at Tufts. So I think eventually I'll open in the disc. But I think as of now, I'm a hammer weight specialist.
Gotcha. And those events, obviously, there's similarities, but they're also quite different. Tell me a little bit about similarities, differences between the hammer and the weight.
Yeah, so the hammer is the bigger Olympic event, you know. Yeah. You don't see the weight throw in the Olympics. The weight is more of a means to an end. It's created as an indoor hammer for NCAA points for the indoor season.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Europe, you see all these hammer specialists going to the Olympics. None of them are throwing weight, you know. So I definitely see it as like a drill for the hammer. Mm. It's a fun event, but I think it's an event that definitely can wear and tear on your body after a certain amount of time. So I think it definitely helps with building up technique for the outdoor season as long as you do it right. But yeah, hammer is the real main event.
Right, yeah. Right. That's the one. Yeah. And obviously the PR for you. I mean, Coach Kalina obviously is our throws coach, works with everyone. Tell me a little bit about what you've learned from him in terms of, first of all, what was his message to you when you decided to become a thrower? Like, what was the first thing he kind of tells you about what it's going to take, right?
Yeah. I have to think back to that. Yeah. Because, I mean, I really have to thank him for kind of going out on a limb here to see the potential in me to become a good thrower. Because, I do remember my first practice with him. It was after the group practice with everyone, because I think I was just watching the practice because I wasn't quite clear to throw. And he had me doing some weight drills, and he's like, all right, take this weight, try to throw it to this cone. I never got it to the cone. And he's like, okay. And, you know, yeah, I think it was definitely – I have to thank him for letting me try out throwing. That was an amazing opportunity. But yeah, I think I've been able to work with him throughout my throws career so far to address whatever injuries I had, because, you know, leading up into the outdoor season my freshman year, I was still recovering a torn quad. And then over the summer, in fact, I tore my right quad.
Oh.
And this past fall, he's helped me kind of adjust my training programs, adjust my lifts to be able to recover in the best way possible, but also still focus on technique, strength, output, power. So yeah, he's been a really helpful coach to be able to get where I am today. And I think he's taught me a lot about technique, discipline, showing up when you don't necessarily want to, and just really putting your all into it. And I'm very appreciative of him.
I'm just looking at the number. Yeah, 166.4. I mean, that's a big PR because 148.4 was the previous PR earlier at Emory. And so this was nearly 20 feet more. I mean, you're only a sophomore. What's kind of like your vision of like, where could you go next, right? Do you have numbers in your mind?
Not necessarily. I think when you have numbers in your mind, especially going into a meet, that's the meets where you foul out, honestly. Yeah, right. It was funny. I think going into the Tufts meet, I had a good 2 weeks of practice leading up to it. And I was like, okay, I think I can throw 50 this meet. And I constantly had that number in my head. And I was competing against it was a pretty competitive meet. And I think that kind of got in my head. And I, you know, started pulling on the throws, fouled them out. So I think going into a meet with a number is hard to do. But right. I think my next year, senior year, I hope to eventually go to nationals. I think that's the end goal.
You mentioned the fouls at Tufts. I mean, is that just a matter of stepping out of the circle by just a little bit, or how does that kind of go?
Yeah, yeah. So once you release the hammer, you have to stay within the circle before it lands, and then after it lands, you have to walk out the back of the circle. So
okay.
When I released my throws, because I was pulling on it, I had, like, residual force. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but I stepped out of the front of the circle by accident, those just count as fouls.
Interesting. So you have to wait until it lands before you can go anywhere.
Yeah. Because it's like, and you have to walk out the back of the circle. Yeah. So there's like no arguing of like, oh, like I just walked out instead of like I fell out, you know?
Mm.
There's no question about like losing balance and whatnot.
Interesting. So it sounds like there was a change in mentality entering this weekend a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I think this weekend I tried to really, because it was a little bit of a while since I had competed last.
Right.
Especially in the hammer. So I think I tried to really remember what worked in the indoor season and then just kind of redo that. And I think a lot of those meets, I just came in with an open mind of like, I'm just here to have fun. That's my goal. I just want to, you know, have a good competition, see what I can do. I think going into it with a more open mind, rather than like a number, really, really helped this past meet.
And it was your second to last throw that was the winning throw, right? So what was your reaction when that landed?
Honestly, it wasn't a good one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went back through and looked at the film. And honestly, even as I released it, it didn't feel like a good throw.
Hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, I have terrible depth perception. my first throw of the meet, I threw 50.16, I think, and once I stepped out of the circle, I'm standing next to my teammate and I'm like, oh, like, I don't know. I think that's a good start to the meet. I think it's like maybe, you know, 46, 47. He's like, Henry, no, that's a huge PR. And then they read the mark. And I thought that was really funny. Once I heard it was 50, I was really excited. Cause I think that took a lot of pressure off me cause that, gave me the auto qualifier for the New England Championship. And then also extended my season to, I think, one of the last chance meets.
Nice.
Yeah. I was really excited when I heard the mark, but as I released the throw, I knew I could do better. So I'm excited to see where that takes me.
Yeah, interesting. It looks like the first throw would have held up anyway to win. So, yeah. I mean, were you a little surprised to actually win the event this week? I mean, because that's your first victory, right?
Yeah, it is. I wasn't terribly surprised. I mean, looking at the seed list,
right.
I knew that there was a chance I could win.
Nice.
So that was really exciting, especially with the week of practices I had had. That was fun to see. I was a little saddened though that I wasn't able to compete with Ryan a bit more.
Yeah, he had to drop out, right?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's doing well. His knee's bothering him a little bit, but I think he'll be able to come back for hammer and shot in the NESCAX. So.
Right. I'm gonna say it. NESCAX is this weekend.
Yeah.
So I assume you're competing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the conference championships coming up? First chance for you, right?
Yeah. 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 Actually, it is. I'm really excited. I was looking at the seed list and the. I don't know if the seed lists have dropped, but the NESCAC rankings at least.
Right.
I'm seeded fifth for this meet.
Okay.
And there's a lot of 50-meter guys, 50-plus meter guys. So I'm really excited to have more competition going into this meet.
Excellent. Have you talked to any of the guys who have been there before? Kind of what's it like compared to other meets? I mean, because this is like the real deal, right? Your conference championships.
Kind of. Yeah. Honestly, not too much because in the indoor season, I competed in the New England Championship.
Sure. Yep.
And I think, if I were to guess, that's a very similar feeling meet to NESCAX. I think NESCAX, more of the team will be there. So at least in my imagination, it's, you know, this really hype meet with all your teammates. It's one of the big three meets that we have in the indoor/outdoor season.
Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the state championship for yourself and the team as a whole? Anything else you want to mention? On Saturday, did you get a chance to watch your teammates and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I did. That was really exciting. It was really fun to watch. Awesome performances all across the board. I was mentioning I never got to see Evan Berthume run the 100-meter dash because I've always been throwing her
right
at a different meet, and it was really exciting to watch him and watch all my other teammates. So, yeah, it was a blast.
Great. Henry Hood is our male Bobcat of the week. He is the main state champion this year in the hammer throw with a personal record throw of 50.70 meters. Bobcats are in action at Williams College for the NESCAC Championships this weekend. Thanks so much.
Thank you. All glory to God.
The women's track and field team hosted the Pine Tree Classic alongside the men's meet this weekend, and the Bobcats rolled to victory, scoring an impressive 214.5 points, more than 90 points more than runner-up Colby. Sophomore Campbell Johnson scored a lot of those points, taking second in the high jump, triple jump, and long jump. Her long jump of 5.50 meters is the second longest in Bates women's outdoor track and field history.
Long jump was kind of a really cool event this time because it was the last event, which it usually is first when I'm long jumping, when I'm doing all three. So it was cool to like be able to just put my all into long jump and know I didn't have anything else going on after that. My first jumps of the day were high jump and triple jump, and they both went fine, like pretty close to what I usually do, but not quite a PR. And then I went out in long jump, and I knew that if I kept jumping, I would PR. Like, I just felt like going into it, I was like, okay, if I take the jumps that I need to take, because we went into the day saying that I was only taking three in each event to minimize impact for the next weekend.
Mm.
And so I went in, I was like, okay, I was on my third jump. I was like, coach, you have to let me keep going. Like, I know I'm going to PR if you just let me keep going. He was like, okay. And then my next jump, I went out and had a big PR, and it was really cool.
So you did get a fourth jump?
I did, yes. Okay. I had to convince him. But
and then after that fourth jump, you stopped?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
My coaches were like, okay, you can take one more jump, and it doesn't matter how it goes, you're done after that. I was like, okay, awesome. And then I did it, and I had a huge, like, 7-inch PR.
I'm interested always, you know, triple jump and long jump, different mechanics to them. What are similarities, differences? You're landing in the sand every time. There's obviously big differences between the two events, right?
Yeah, big differences. So triple jump is obviously three consecutive jumps into the pit. Like, it's a hop, skip, and jump. And then long jump is more you're trying to jump as high and far out as possible. So it's a very different takeoff, which people don't really get unless you actually do it. Like, you're training it in a very different way. So to be able to go from triple jump earlier in the day to long jump later in the day, it really does make a big difference, like, mechanics wise. Yeah.
What a group of triple jumpers we have this year, right?
Oh, it's awesome.
Tell me about this group, because there's four of you who are all, like, you know, in the top part of the country, really.
Yeah. No, it's so cool, because last year we had me and Alana really duking it out every weekend, and it was just a back and forth of who was going to PR, who was going to be number, you know, two, three all time. And this year we recruited Alessandra and also Caitlin, who will be back in to jumping like those same distances soon. And we also have Grasa.
Right.
And so with everybody, we have like a 11.4 meter average, which is first in the nation.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. And it's just awesome because everybody is pushing each other to do so much better. I definitely feel like, especially with Alessandra being number one, it's really pushing me and Alana to like catch up, because we both want those same numbers, and it's really cool to see somebody else doing it. And then Gross is also right there. Like, as soon as everybody hits a new PR for the season, it's going to be unstoppable, and it honestly already is. It's really cool.
It's almost dizzying how much the top 10 lists keep shifting around in Bates history in the triple jump.
Yeah.
Obviously, the 40-foot market, I'm sure, is everyone's goal, right? What are your thoughts on, you know, eventually possibly achieving that?
I think when we have a really good warm weather meet, somebody's going to get it.
Yeah.
It's going to fall immediately. And it's just a matter of time and like to see who gets it, because it could honestly be anybody. Anybody could have that day where they just go out, pop off, and jump really far. And everybody's so close to it. And it just makes it such an exciting experience every time we all go.
Were you injured at all during indoor?
I was.
Yeah. So how were you able to bounce back in time to compete at New England's there?
Yeah. Like? I was injured from about the third meet of indoor to New England's. I had already qualified in triple jump, so that's why I was able to do it at New England's.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a frustrating process getting back. It was definitely like, you know, I kept bringing it up to my doctors. I was like, okay, really, my goal is just New England's. Like, I qualified. Like, it's okay if I miss the other stuff, but I really want to get back. And so I went through all the recovery process, like returning to run, and was able to do it after about two practices back, go and compete at New England's. And for being out all season, it was a good mark, but it was definitely a big building moment for me for outdoor, like knowing that, okay, I have a lot to get back to. And it was really motivating, honestly, to go back and know, like, okay, for outdoor, I need to like really put a lot more effort into getting back to training.
Bobcats took first place at the meet this past weekend. What were some other events you enjoyed watching when you weren't competing?
Oh my gosh. The 200 was really fun to watch. A lot of PRs in that for both our team and other teams, but a lot of PRs there. Pole vault was really good to watch. PRs in that too. I love watching all the events. I couldn't even list like all of them. Throws are really awesome to watch. Distance events, it's like all so cool. Anytime I wasn't competing, I was bouncing back and forth between track and inside pole vault and the throws and just trying to see everybody compete and pop off.
And to have a home outdoor meet's got to be a great experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This was my first, yeah. And also Bates's first in 3 years. And it was really cool because we don't get to practice outside a lot because of weather. So it was really awesome to have a good weather meet and having it be home and watching everybody just have such a good day because of it was home and everybody was so relaxed and comfortable. It was great.
Excellent. And then, I mean, NESCAC's coming up this weekend. You competed at NESCAC's last year. You were third in the triple jump, and you actually had a PR in the high jump there at NESCAC's last season. What are your thoughts on this conference championship coming up?
Oh, that's cool. I kind of forgot I had PR'd there. I'm really excited. It's a two-day meet this time, mm-hmm. So long jump will be on its own day on Saturday, I think. And then triple jump and high jump will be on Sunday.
Okay.
So it's really cool because it's another one of those split weekends. I can really put my focus into each individual event instead of knowing that I'm going to have to go back and forth between events. So long jump, obviously I PR'd this weekend. I would love to bring down that school record if I could, but it's really cool that it's on its own day so I can really focus on it. And then high jump and triple jump are my two favorite events, so having those on the same day will really add a lot of excitement to Sunday.
I was just going to ask you about that. Favorite events and about a tie between high jump and triple jump?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm biased because it changes every time I PR. It's usually triple jump that's my favorite. Yeah. High jump has been a consistent for me since seventh grade, so it's obviously got a special place in my heart, but triple jump is just a new type of excitement.
I'm wondering, are your collegiate PRs PRs overall also for you? Because sometimes people tell me their collegiate PRs are not actually their PRs all time.
Yeah. For long jump and triple jump, I have PR'd by feet in both.
Yeah.
High jump, my PR collegiately is almost the exact same as my high school PR, but it's right there. As soon as I have like a good weather meet and I'm just not injured and everything goes well, another height's going to click.
Yeah, certainly. And then, I mean, we talked a little bit about this group of jumpers. I mean, it sounds like there's good, healthy internal competition there, right? I mean, could you elaborate a little bit more on that in terms of, you know, what discussions you have with your teammates and stuff about, you know, around these jumps?
Yeah. Competition, it's so nice. And it's actually really interesting because we have four or five, especially triple jumpers and long jumpers, it's a different dynamic than in the past year, having all of that competition. And I think our team does it really well in the fact that we all push each other to be better, but don't compete against each other internally. So it's, we all have our good days and we all have our bad days, and we're all there to lift each other up when it's a bad day, and we're all there to hype each other up when it's a good day. And I feel like we do it. Our team in general just does that really, really well. And yeah, it's just great vibes.
And you're from Maine, obviously, your second year as a Bobcat. What do you learn from your first year, you know, of college athletics or even the Bates experience you've kind of applied to your sophomore season, perhaps?
Yeah, probably the biggest thing I've learned is it's important to take the rest when you can get it. Mm. I think last year I was just go, go, go all the time. Athletics, academics, everything. I made a much bigger and harder deal than it needed to be. And this year I've really learned how to kind of trust the process, both with athletics and academics, and how to balance that all better, how to maintain good academics while still putting in the work when it needs to be done in track.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the Pine Tree Classic we haven't got to talk about yet?
It was just such a great meet. The vibes were huge. It was so awesome to bring home the trophy on both the women's and men's sides. Everybody did so great. And yeah, hope we get to host another meet next year because it was just so fun.
Excellent. Campbell Johnson, second all time at Bates now in the outdoor long jump with her jump of 5.50 meters there at the Pine Tree Classic. Good for second at the meet. Scored a bunch of points for the Bobcats over the weekend as they took first place. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The softball team had a big week. sweeping St. Joseph's and Wesleyan in doubleheaders. They also split a twin bill with Hamilton for an overall record of 5-1. Junior captain Isabel Bo Betancourt was on fire at the plate, hitting 4 home runs and earning NESCAC and Maine State Player of the Week honors. And Bo Betancourt is our female Bobcat of the Week.
Well, Bo, a power outburst for you this past week. 4 home runs over the course of 6 games. So take us through what kind of came together at the plate for you. Did you make any adjustments, or was it just one of those weeks perhaps?
At the beginning of the season, like, I don't know, my hitting just, like, didn't really feel right. So I, like, have been trying to make adjustments throughout this season. And then finally against St. Joe's, everything kind of just, like, came together and started working like the way I wanted it to. It kind of felt like Florida last year. So that was really awesome.
Yeah, you mentioned Florida last year, obviously a really hot start. And this year you're kind of coming on strong later in the season, which it's probably pretty good timing, right? You're feeling good about these next few games?
Yeah, I know. It's great timing. We got some big games coming up to hopefully make playoffs. So
tell me a little bit about your decision to play volleyball this fall, because it's kind of, you know, being a two-sport athlete these days is more rare than it used to be. So tell me a little bit about how that process all turned out.
I had decided that I wasn't going to go abroad. It was my sister's senior year in high school, so I just wanted to, like, kind of be around, like, be able to go to some of her things. And then when there was a new coach, so I had tried to walk on my freshman year, and the coach was like, we have too many girls, like, it's not going to work. And I was like, okay, great. And then when there was the coaching change, I knew they had, like, lower numbers than they had in the past, so I reached out to Carissa and was like, hey, like, do you think I'd be able to walk on? Like, what would that be like? And obviously talked to Coach McKay, and they were both great about it. And so it was really awesome to have that opportunity.
So obviously volleyball is a sport you've been playing, you know, well, for a long time, right? Tell me a little bit about how you first started playing volleyball, perhaps.
I started playing volleyball in the 3rd grade. I'd gotten cut from the, like, club soccer team.
Oh, okay.
So I was really upset about that. And my dad was like, hey, like, here's this other sport that, like, you could play. And it's not, like, super big yet, like, in the Northeast, like, all around. So I just started going to, like, the high school volleyball practices and, like, working out with them. Like, that was, like, my after-school activity in the fall. So I did that. I fell in love with it and then ended up playing club starting in, like, the 5th grade. And then I played club all through my senior year of high school.
I'm curious because, obviously, since you been at Bates, you've been obviously locked in on softball for 2 seasons. And how were you able to join a varsity volleyball team without having played for a couple of years, right? I mean, how did you kind of stay fresh with the sport?
So I did. I, like, kind of took 2 years off, but also both of my sisters were still in high school, so they were still playing. So, like, over the summers and everything, I would play with them. And then I also coached volleyball during the summers at the, like, local sports facility that we have. And then one of my coaches from that, like, sports facility has girls come together during the summer a little bit. So I reached out to her when I was thinking about walking on, and she, like, let me come in and work with the girls that she had there.
Great. What was it like kind of joining a team, you know, middle of your time at Bates? Like, what was it like? I mean, did you already know a lot of your teammates and stuff, or did you have to kind of meet them?
I knew of all of them. My now sophomores on our team are really close with them. So I had, like, seen them in passing and, like, had conversations but didn't really know them very well. So it was really cool to, like, get to know them and have, like, another group of people to spend time with.
Well, back to softball now. Junior captain, you're a catcher also. And this year it's kind of interesting. We've talked to Coach McKay about this. You have, like, 6 pitchers. So as a catcher, what's that like to work with so many different pitchers? Because normally softball, it's like 1 or 2.
Yeah. It's been really awesome having, like, all of the pitchers and being able to, like, work with all of them and kind of figure out, like, what's going on. It is a little bit more difficult because, like, there's only one of me working with the 6 of them. But we've had a lot of I've had a lot of help, like, with people. We do have some, like, secondary position catchers who have been helping out. But then even people who have never caught before have been helping out with catching and, like, that kind of thing. So it's been really awesome to have them help. And each of our pitchers brings something different to the plate. So getting to, like, see them, like, come in and, like, do their job is really awesome too.
Yeah, it seems like each week there's been a different pitcher maybe stepping up and having a good week. So, I mean, it seems like it's pretty encouraging. You know, I mean, Delaney's a senior, but it's pretty encouraging for the future with some of these younger pitchers, right?
Yeah, no, every one of the pitchers gets better every week. And it's also really awesome the dynamic of, like, if one of them isn't having a great day, and another pitcher is, like, coming and picking them up.
Now, to get the doubleheader sweep of Wesleyan, that was obviously huge because you're battling for a spot in the NESCAC tournament. So take us through that doubleheader in particular, because I know you had a great day at the plate. What was really clicking for the team in general?
The team, like, we all just have each other's back, and, like, kind of, like, the energy that we bring each game. Like, Wesleyan kind of felt like a new level up of, like, we've been doing well, but we haven't been getting the wins that we want, that now, like, Wesleyan, we were like, okay, like, let's go do it, which we'd done in every other game. But, like, this time it, like, actually clicked. So spirits were high. It was awesome to get that first game and then go into the second game and, yeah, get it done.
Lots of activity by the softball field this week. We had the track meet going on and stuff. Finally, some real home games for you. So what was that like, the kind of the atmosphere and everything?
It was really cool to have so many people down by the field. Like, our field is kind of, like, in the corner of campus. So having, like, all of the people from track, like, coming around was really cool. I had joked with Coach before the game. I was like, oh, like, we should probably hit a lot of home runs because the track people are out there. Like, that would be kind of funny.
And you did. You hit what? You hit two home runs in the Wesleyan doubleheader and hit another one against Hamilton the next day, right? Three straight games, really. So, I mean, you know, have you all considered yourself kind of a home run hitter, where you were a home run hitter in high school and stuff?
Yeah, like, I did my job. I played with both of my sisters in high school.
Yeah.
So it was, like, kind of like the three of us that, like, were would hit really well. So, like, as long as the three of us were doing well. There was one game in high school where we all hit a home run in one game.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was really cool. But, yeah, I just try and hit the ball, put it in play. If it goes out, that's awesome.
And your sister, you said, are seniors in high school this year?
One of my sisters is a senior in high school.
Is she looking at Bates, or where is she?
She is coming to Bates.
Oh, wow, nice. Yeah. To play softball?
She's going to play softball and volleyball.
So you're going to be teammates.
Yeah, so we'll be teammates again, which will be really exciting.
Yeah, that is really exciting. And your other sister is in college right now?
Yeah, she's at Brown.
She's at Brown, okay. Yeah. Okay, so probably really looking forward to next year, right?
Yeah, no, I'm so excited. I was a senior in high school, and she was a freshman in high school, so we played together then. And, like, I'm just excited to, like, see the, like, 4 years of growth that she's made since then and, like, get to play with her again in that capacity.
Is she a catcher like you are, or does she play other positions?
She first base, catcher. She's a really good hitter, so that'll be really exciting,
Help out the lineup a bit right away, yeah. Right? Sounds yeah. like, yeah. Well, speaking of that, you've had some good contributors this year. I've seen, like, Maddie Miller as a sophomore has kind of had a breakout season. Maya Lee, a junior who I think wasn't even recruited, right?
No,
and so tell me about those two. Yeah.
Yeah, Maya walked on freshman year and she's been awesome to have. Like, I'm so happy that she made that decision to reach out to Coach once she got here. Like, I've joked with her a couple times. It's like, imagine what the team would be like if Maya Lee wasn't here. She's just really awesome. And, like, she's one of the girls who always picks up catching for me. Like, if I'm in class, like, she'll be the first one to, like, be like, oh, I got this pitcher for you. Like, don't worry about it. So that's really awesome. And then Maddie's been awesome. Maddie's a great teammate. She's locking it down at second base. And then, like, this spurt of hitting has been great. Like, I wasn't expecting it, but, like, Matt, she also has the most sack bunts on our team. Like, she's very much the girl who, like, will do exactly what the team needs. So it's really cool to see her also have this, like, hitting spurt as well.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far and this past week in general we haven't got to talk about yet?
It's just been really exciting to, like, be able to be with this team. And, I hope to get a couple more wins and do well in the NESCAC tournament.
Bo Betancourt is our female Bobcat of the week. She's also the NESCAC player of the week. Congratulations on that. And thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The men's tennis team clinched a spot in the upcoming NESCAC tournament with a key 5-2 win at Connecticut College on Sunday. Here to update us on the squad and the red-hot number one doubles team is Bates head coach Paul Gassingay. Well, Coach, for the men's tennis team, a big win Sunday at Connecticut College 5-2 to pretty much lock up a spot in the NESCAC tournament. Tell me about that match. You know, coming off, obviously, a pretty evenly matched battle with Wesley in the day before, but to bounce back and get that win, what did that say about your squad there?
Yeah, that's a tough venue. You know, it's a solid court. It's a rubber court that they have a tennis court paint coating on. So it actually is a good court surface, but the venue itself is very difficult to play in. The roof line is one of those New England college and prep school roof lines that's got all the peaks and valleys and basketball hoops hanging down. It's very low. So on the edges, there's beams that come down. There's only three courts, but on those two outside courts, basically half the court, you can't lob.
Okay.
And the other half is fairly low, so you have to hit a kind of a perfect low lob. So it takes a lot of your reflex shots out of it, your recovery shots. So it's a challenging venue. It's loud. And again, it's just a testament to our guys coming in ready, no excuses, just battle. I give them credit. All year long, we've had that. And so many close, you know, really competitive matches that a couple points go different. It's literally a handful of points. And we're young, and I understand that. At some point, we have to get over the hump. But they're in the mix, and they're competing well. And, you know, the day before at Wesleyan, we got the doubles point, and our three doubles team, Nico Ozer and James Sacco, came back from being down, and then we're down 5-2 in the tiebreaker. So Wesleyan only needs two more points. There's a lot of pressure, and they battled back, and they were just so tough. So that was a really neat momentum swing. So we start out 1-0, and, you know, just playing outside, we've had a few matches out there this spring, and, you know, I think our confidence is still indoors because we spend probably 80% of the year indoors. But we're doing a really good job outside, and we battled, and, you know, we lost some close ones. And but we were in the hunt, and just like we have been all year. So, like, to flip it and get ready for day two after, you know, kind of a heartbreaking, hard-fought loss, you have to be mentally tough and, you know, come back and compete again. And one of the things we've been really focusing on this year is let's be a one-point warrior, meaning that every point is independent of the next. We're going to take the good stuff with us, but we're going to leave, you know, any negativity behind, and we're just going to battle for that entire point, give it everything we have, learn from it, move forward, and then reset and do it again. And so compartmentalizing that way, you know, it's a mental skill. Because when you play a tough point and might have been a big point to get broken or something like that, you have to rebound and come back and just really play hard and compete. And, you know, these guys have just done an amazing job this year with that. So all the credit to them. They've been working hard. They're confident. They know they're prepared.
And you mentioned young team, right? There's only one senior. And that's Teo. Yep.
Yep.
And Teo is the number one doubles with Philippe, and they are rolling right now. They have really gotten into a groove. They've won five in a row, victories over Colby, Hamilton, Amherst, Wesleyan, and Connecticut College at number one doubles. Tell me a little bit about those two and what they've been able to achieve. And we talked a little bit about this, but they have a chance to possibly qualify nationally, right?
Yeah, it's a tough tournament to get into, only 16 teams. So it's very, very competitive, and our region is super competitive, and there are obviously some other really competitive regions in the country, but they're on a good momentum, you know, swing right now. I think they've played this well all year. We had a tiebreaker loss to Tufts earlier in the year. You know, their losses are generally close, and I think the three Division II teams that we played against in Florida this year got us ready. I mean, they're really high level. They both have massive serves. They move off each other so well. I think having played together for a few years now, they know what they're going to do. They can communicate well. They have some really good plays. And, yeah, they're just really great athletes. And, you know, couple matches ago against Colby, Teo had this incredible topspin lob winner in the heat of the battle. It was a really tough point and hit that for a winner, and that was pretty special.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, they've obviously been together as a group for a couple of years now. So have you seen them kind of develop over the last couple of seasons? I mean, they've been all NESCAC together, but this year it seems like they've really taken another step.
Most definitely. They're more mature. They're just taking care of their service games, and we're returning better than ever. That's something we've spent a lot of time working on this year as a whole team, is just really a lot of reps with serves and returns, and not even playing out points, but just serve and return. And you just need thousands of reps, and we have some of the bigger servers in the country to practice against, which is great. And they've done a really good job with that. So we're putting a lot of pressure on our opponents. We keep returning better. I think they're confident they're going to hold, and then we just go for breaks. And they move off each other so well. So when one of them hits the ball through, the other's following the ball all over the middle and just knocking the ball down. So they really work well together.
Senior Day coming up a week. We're talking on Tuesday, April 21st, a week from today against MIT. So one senior tale, a smaller event, I'm sure, but it'll be nice to honor him, right?
Absolutely. It's our last home match, yeah. And we had moved this match to Tuesday next week because with finals this week, I didn't want to go 2 weeks without playing a match, and then all of a sudden we're in the NESCAC first round quarterfinals, and we're just not ready because we haven't been competing. So we were able to move that match, and looking forward to it. It's always a tough match. They're super high level team, and I'm looking forward to it because it'll get us ready for Friday.
Yeah, so the NESCAC tournament is that Friday of that week.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. And where do you all head for that?
Wesleyan is hosting.
It's Wesleyan. Okay. So you've just been there. So what's Wesleyan's course like?
Wesleyan Outdoors is just regular hard court.
Regular hard court. So. Yeah, nothing crazy. Okay. For a lot of these players, it'll be their first appearance at NESCACs. What kind of message would you have for them in terms of what a conference tournament is like compared to regular season?
I think we treat everything the same.
Yeah.
And that's been our mantra all year, our mentality all year is like, let's get better every week. And that's what we've been doing such a good job with, whether we're playing a match on the weekend or in practice on Tuesday. The objective is to get better and to push each other. And the wins and the losses are going to come, but their intent is to do what we do every day and to get better and to be free out there and to go after it. And they have done that every single week. We've made huge gains, a lot of gains in our mentality and confidence, and it goes hand in hand with the physical hard work, but they're putting it together and we keep getting stronger. And once we get this week behind us, I told them this past weekend, playing last weekend, 2 days before final exams, yeah, when everything is due, a lot of stress, lack of sleep, even though we're, really trying to be regimented with our sleep habits and all that. But it is finals, and they have a lot going on. And you could tell they're a little bit strung out, and it's just the hardest thing to do in the middle of a season. But they did a really good job preparing early, studying ahead of time, and, they embraced it. And we really worked hard to be ready for this past weekend, and knowing that, hey, if we can get through this, good stuff is on the horizon, and we get through finals. Everyone's training this week in between exams. We're doing small groups on their own, all voluntary, of course. But they, it's a good, healthy thing for them to do during exams, to get out and get some exercise. So, concise practices, but intense, and then go back and study and get ready for their exams. And then next week we're on break. Yeah. So it's going to be a huge load off their shoulders, and that's generally when we play some really good ball.
30 years here as the head coach. How you feeling?
I'm feeling fresh.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this group. They give so much. They're so dedicated. They're just an amazing group of athletes and people. And, it's such a pleasure coaching them. I'm so blessed.
Excellent. The Bobcats are back home a week from today. If you're listening on Tuesday, 2:00, when they host MIT again, Senior Day at Wallach Tennis Center. And then we'll check them out in the NESCAC tournament that Friday at Wesleyan. Opponent to be determined. But Paul Gaskin, thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
The men's and women's lacrosse teams have both secured spots in the upcoming NESCAC tournament. The women will be the 8th seed, and the men's outcomes range from number 3 to number 6, depending on how play shakes out on Wednesday. But regardless, stick with GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest news on their postseason games and all of Bates Athletics.
We'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.